Welcome to Political Point of View on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. In this program, we talk with politicians of all types, of all sorts, from local government through to central government, and including aspiring candidates. Sit back and enjoy.
And on Political Point of View this week, here from the Live In More studio, in the lead up to Christmas, I am joined by Horowhenua Mayor Bernie Wandon. Bernie, what's happening this month?
Lots. As you can imagine, everyone's trying to get everything done before the end of the year. There is a heck of a lot of pressure actually on council this week in particular, and even into next week, hopefully, where we need to sign off a few things before we start signing off some of the things that are in the consultation document around the long-term plan. Look, it's been a very busy last month or so for me, which is great. There's been lots happening, but yeah, look, it seems strange that 2023 is about to draw to a close.
It certainly is unusual when you think about all that's happened this year and how action-packed it's been. We're nearly at the end of it. It's quite surprising as well that even though we are coming up very close to Christmas, you still have quite a few things on. You've got a meeting coming up. You've still got your committees meeting. Quite busy.
Yeah, look, and that's the nature of local government these days. It never stops. There's always something to do. We're trying to develop a long-term plan. So there's a number of things that we need to get in train or talk about and sign off before the auditors arrive early February. So yeah, lots to do. And the challenge around long-term plan this year is particularly hard. It is really difficult with the uncertainty about what's happening with Three Waters, for example, but also just the economic landscape that we're operating in these days. Interest rates, power charges, depreciation, all those sorts of things like normal households have to face. Council's exactly the same. And look, we're having some really tough discussions and conversations about not what we want to add to everything, but what we can actually stop doing.
Now, obviously, we're coming up to Christmas, and so as it is coming up to Christmas, we want things to be a little bit lighthearted, so we won't go too deep into things compared to what we normally do. But as you have brought up about the LTP, we'll have a discussion about it. What are your main priorities for it before it goes to the auditors?
Our main priorities this time are trying to get back to basics. We all know that our communities expect a level of service, whether it be water, wastewater, rubbish, roads, footpaths. We want to ensure that that sort of level of service is maintained. Yet we need to also be very, very aware of what is happening out there in the community, how tough it is. But the reality is that, you know, councils are facing right across the country some extraordinary challenges in trying to develop these long-term plans at the moment. And the government have got a really quite a big challenge in terms of the legal sort of side of things, because we are governed by statute and have to produce these long-term plans by a certain date. But then the challenge is we don't know what's happening with Three Waters, RMA and other things. So yeah, lots of things impacting on that.
Simeon Brown's the local government minister, isn't he?
He is, yes. And we're quite pleased about that, to be honest, because he's got transport as well. He's listed at number 5 on the national list. So that's, for us, gives us, as local government, some credibility in terms of a quite high cabinet minister making those good decisions, hopefully.
Sure. Have you had any discussions with him about your aspirations for the LTP and for the district as a whole?
No, look, this is being done at a higher level than just a single local authority at the moment. One of the things that the government have already said is they don't want to talk to 67 of us. They want to talk to us collectively. So as a region, we're certainly getting together as a Horizons region in terms of putting our case for some investment in terms of in our area, but also we're looking south as well to Wellington and being part of some of the conversations going on in that space. And in fact, yesterday I spent at a hearings committee on the future development strategy for the Wellington region, which includes Horowhenua, and it's really interesting the you know, the fact that a lot of developers are talking about the ability for Horowhenua to actually supply some of the land that they need to build houses on, but also an acknowledgement of the food that we produce for the Wellington region and wider and beyond.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to hear you say that, and also that they're not willing to meet with 67 people individually. They want to meet as a collective because, well, you've just talked about the developers who see this as great potential for the land and what we offer. They're different needs to different districts. Is that a bit of a concern that your voice might be drowned out by some of the bigger councils?
Yeah, look, that's a you know, challenge that we have to meet, but the more that we act collectively and collaboratively, the better off we all are. So if that means that we get O2NL signed off completely, it means that those projects down the line, like the freight hub in Palmerston or the Martin Rail freight hub, have got more chance of being done. So if we go with a package around what we, these are the priorities for our region, we've got much better chance of actually having some success in terms of those being delivered for us.
One thing that I've heard quite a few times, and I actually would like you to clear up just the accuracy of it, in terms of the developments, in terms of a lot of the different projects going on, one I keep hearing about on Enterprise Drive is this Archives New Zealand building. I think it was mentioned on 7 Sharp a couple of years ago. Mm. Driving past that, it's still an empty paddock. Is that happening? What's the story with that particular project?
Look, I haven't heard anything recently.
Because that would be quite cool if that was here.
It would be very cool. And what has happened, while Department of Internal Affairs have signed off on it and said, yes, we want that there, the Cabinet actually needs to put it into a budget. And I don't think that's actually happened as yet, because it's, you know, as you can imagine, the challenge of the economic climate that we have, that is probably one of those nice-to-haves. And so it's been pushed out. I don't think it's been forgotten, but it's just been pushed out.
Is that a conversation with Brooke Van Velden, is it?
It's a conversation with a number of people. I think Tim, our local MP, might have a part to play in advocating for us as well.
Okay, sure, it's not one of those projects that's going to be cut by the Minister of Regulation.
I hope not.
Paper's not going to be leaked out to the public?
No. Look, the archives, I mean, it sounds like an unimportant sort of thing, but, I mean, it's still pretty, in the big picture, making sure that all our documents, all our archives are kept properly is a pretty big deal. I mean, we don't want to see, you know, the country's now got some history. We don't want to see that disappear.
So we're talking about the Te Papa reserves, aren't we, with these archives?
Yes. And look, it's going to be a massive building. And look, we know the investigation they went through to ensure that they found the right place for this. And I believe there were over 300 potential sites for this archive building, and they picked us because of many different factors. But it's pretty cool. Otherwise, look, if they're not going to build it, we'd like to know so that we can actually, there's probably plenty of investors that want to actually get in and get their land.
Use that site, put something else there.
Exactly.
Have you been to Te Papa recently? And if you have, what would be your favourite exhibit? I know that's a slightly left field question, but it's more holiday themed, so yes, a bit more lighthearted.
I've been to Te Papa actually for a meeting over the last month. On local government, around the future for local government. We didn't actually get to see any of the exhibits. But the one exhibit that I have, some of the exhibits I've enjoyed over the last few years have been the Wearable Arts exhibit. The Rita Angus painting exhibit, that was, you know, I love her art. She's a fantastic New Zealand painter. And the other one was the Peter Jackson World War II display, which
the Gallipoli display,
yeah,
that was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unbelievably good, yeah.
What about some of the classics, like the Earthquake House?
Yeah, look, I've seen that over the years, yeah. Being a Wellingtonian, earthquakes are not new to me. I've seen those.
Not very nice, though.
Not very nice, I agree, yeah.
What's that? That's based on the one in Edgecombe, isn't it, in the 80s?
That's right, which was quite about a 7 point something. You know, it was a really big one. And fortunately, it didn't cause huge amounts of damage. But yeah, look, it's one of those things we have to live with. Fortunately, they don't occur that often.
No, it's one of the consequences of living in the Shaky Isles.
That's true.
So tell us about some of the other local happenings around the place. The Surf Lifesaving Club, which has been long touted and we've been waiting for the construction of it, it's now been opened.
Now been opened. And look, you know, good things come to those that wait. And look, there's no doubt that this facility is probably up there with anything in the country in terms of Surf Lifesaving Club rooms. The view from the balcony looking out over the beach when I was there at, you know, 5:30 in the morning to for its blessing, and standing over there with the sun rising and the calmness of the water will live with me for a long, long time. It was absolutely spectacular. This is a building that will be a huge asset to this community for many, many years, and I think will make the beach even more attractive than it already is, but also give those lifeguards, you know, something special that they'll be able to operate and feel proud about. And I'm sure it'll be a great catalyst for new members and for the local community as well.
It's certainly something that the beach has been crying out for a while, certainly. Going forward, are there any further development plans out at the beach?
Look, there's a lot of activity going on in terms of new builds out there. We do have some struggles with infrastructure out at the beach, though. There are some challenges that we've got with wastewater and stormwater. So we need to sort of spend a bit of time and money probably fixing those before we see a great deal more development. But there is quite an opportunity, you know, in the future. And the beach lifestyle is becoming even more attractive than ever. And so I don't see why we're slowing down at all. I think the permanent residents are growing in number, but also still very attractive for those visitors from Wellington and other parts of the country.
And another thing as well that you do talk about, that you like to talk about many times, the Foxton Pools. How is that redevelopment going? It's close to opening?
It is close to opening. So there has been a slight delay in terms of that. We between the contractors, but also then the people who were lining the pool, which is quite a big job and takes quite a lot of time. And then the pool's got to be heated and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, we're not quite sure when handover date will be. I believe the contractors have left, though, so they're finished. So we're getting closer, but not quite there. It's touch and go whether it'll be open before Christmas at this stage. So it might be just after.
And tell us about Donald Duck, aka Jubilee Park. It's got a green flag. Now, I don't know particularly what this is, but I've been told it's quite a big deal.
It is quite a big deal. So the green flag standard, if you like, for parks is an international standard. We get rated for a number of different things about the park, but it's a lot about how the park looks, how it's maintained, but also its community connection. And we are very proud of the fact that Horowhenua has 6 parks throughout the district which are listed as green flags. We have more green flag parks in this district than anywhere in the country, even Auckland. Very special, and I think that's a credit to those that look after the parks, but also the way the community treats them as well.
Do you have a favourite park in the Horowhenua?
Thompson Park, you know, where the Thompson House is, has got to be a favourite. I'm no botanist or flower person, but the types of plant that are in there, the beautiful contours of the ground and everything like that, plus Thompson House itself, that's definitely got to be my special one.
And I could count on you to pick the other Levin Green Flag Park.
Clearly, that's why we're so good, because all our parks are, you know, I think you'll often hear the parks people say it is the window to the district. That is the first impression that people get when they're visiting, is are our parks up to a standard that actually look like we actually care about our district? And I think the way that our parks are maintained and look, you only have to look at some of the, you know, the even the old courthouse gardens, the even Holborn Reserve in Foxton, even little things like Tamari Park in Shannon and the one in Manuka. You know, there's some beautifully structured and planted parks that people can enjoy for sure.
Talk about the window to the town. Would the adventure park be considered the door to the town? Because when you drive past, I hear a lot of people from out of town that I know of who come through and say that's always where they stop with their kids and they have a little break before they go down into Wellington or going north as well.
Yes.
Is that a green flag in the future?
Well, possibly not, because it's not our park. So it is, if you like, land bank for treaty settlement, because it is that's where the school was, Levin School, where it burnt down many, many years ago. So it's not actually council run. We maintain it for sure, but we don't actually own it, if you like. So it's not ours. The adventure park is without doubt, one of the iconic things that we have going for this town, and the first thing that people will say they know about this town is the Levin Adventure Park.
Let's have a wee chat about Christmas, because it is that time of year, the most wonderful time of the year. Tell us about what your plans are for Christmas.
Look, Christmas, when I finish the mayoral role, probably the end of this week or early next week, obviously, my business takes over a little bit, so I look forward to actually selling people a few books, recommending some titles that I'd like to read as well. Christmas Day will be spent with a small amount of family, and then I'm back at work on Boxing Day. One of the pleasures of being a retailer is that you have to open on the days that everyone else is having a holiday, and I do Boxing Day by myself because I want my staff to enjoy the day off. But yeah, this will be about number 30 in a row that I've worked Boxing Day. To be honest, I don't enjoy it. It's the one day of the year that I don't enjoy working because I'm usually still, you know, tired leading up to Christmas, and having to go to work straight afterwards is a bit of a challenge. But in saying that, New Year's is quite quiet, and you get to relax and enjoy some of the other benefits of the district and enjoy, hopefully, some good sunny weather.
Certainly opening on Boxing Day, though, must be quite good for business financially.
It's not what it used to be. The old days of Boxing Day being probably one of the biggest days of the year has dropped off considerably. You could put that down to all the Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals that we do at the end of November. You know, there's nothing much left, I suppose. And so it has lost some of its appeal in terms of it being a special day.
Actually, just going back a little bit, you made me panic when you said you were coming to the end of your mayoral term, because I thought you meant you were going to resign or something when you said that. So just confirming, it's just in the lead up to Christmas.
Yes, we do have a break from council for about a month. We're due back about the 24th of January. So yeah, look, it'll be a nice time for people to sort of relax a little bit and not have to do all the reading and other bits and pieces they have to do. I'm looking forward to having a little bit of a small break. But not that I'll be going anywhere. Certainly not. I do have a week off in the middle of January, but other than that, I'm around and probably at the shop most of the time.
You've come back to the shop. That's perfect. You're talking about the titles that you would recommend to people. What would you recommend? What's your favourite book?
This year there's a couple of books that are sitting in the back of my office waiting for me to have some time to read. The first one is called The Locust by a guy by the name of Terry Hayes. He's Australian. He wrote a book a few years ago called I Am Pilgrim, which is the best thriller that anybody had read in years. And we've long awaited this. It's not a sequel, it's a different story altogether. But his next book's taken about 8-9 years to come out. So really looking forward to that. The other, I'm a great fan of Ken Follett, Pillars of the Earth, and he's written a new book which is based around some of that time, but a bit later on. So Yeah, a nice big blockbuster that I can't wait to get into.
So are those your favourite genres, the thriller type stuff?
Yeah, look, I read for pleasure generally, so I don't have any particular genre that I enjoy, just good, good solid books. I don't mind non-fiction either. I enjoy, especially I'm a bit of a sports nut, so I enjoy sporting books and things like that. But, I'll read most things. It doesn't really matter what it is.
What's your favourite sport, favourite sports team?
My favourite sports team? Look, I'm both a rugby nut and a cricket nut. So
you like the winter and the summer?
Yes, I do. Yep. I played cricket and rugby as a younger man and youth. And so I think probably my cricket is slightly ahead of my rugby. I'm a great Hurricanes fan, of course. But cricket-wise, I am amazed at how good the New Zealand cricket team has been over the last few years, considering our size and the number of players we have, to be in finals, to win the Test Championship and things like that. I think it's incredible.
Absolutely, and we've got quite a few good young cricketers coming through at the age grade level as well.
Yeah, look, it always tends to go in cycles, doesn't it? We've got a number of players that are in their mid-30s now, probably only 1 or 2 years left, and we'll need to build again and recreate that. It's a bit like the All Blacks. There'll be a new bunch of players coming through next year after the World Cup retirements and people having sabbaticals and all that sort of carry on. And that's good. You need to turn over every now and then. It's a bit like councils. You can't have the same council forever. It's good to have some new blood and different leaders from time to time.
You've certainly got a lot of new blood in this term, certainly.
We did, yes. Definitely a challenge initially to try and get everyone up to speed in terms of that. Yeah, I still believe that 13 councillors right around the table is too many. But in saying that, the new blood has definitely added a different dimension to this term. And I think we've acquitted ourselves pretty well.
And they gel together nicely.
We are gelling well. It's not easy actually trying to, corral everybody into a good way of thinking. And democracy is such that you will have different views and opinions. And some of our votes are 7-6. Some of them are 9-4. Others are 13. There's people will have different views, and that's fine.
Sometimes you have the odd decision where you've got the one rogue councillor as well.
Well, that can happen as well. But, I always maintain and emphasise that we take an oath to look after the best interests of the district. And as long as councillors are thinking of the best interests of the district, then I'm more than comfortable how they vote. And if they can sort of satisfy in their own minds, why they're supporting one thing or another, I would hate us to be like, say, Wellington or where there's almost two ideologies that compete against one another and they don't meet in the middle.
And common ground just doesn't exist.
Exactly. Common ground doesn't exist. So you often get decisions made which aren't necessarily in the best interests of the district.
Just coming back a little bit to the Christmas theme again, do you have any places that you like to go for a little break? I know you said you're sticking around mostly, but any nice little spots that you like?
I'm a bit of a homebody, to be honest. When I'm not out and about, either at the shop behind the counter or doing some mayoral duties, I quite like to be able to get out and mow the lawns and do things like that, go for a walk maybe down. I am heading to Australia in the middle of January to see my grandkids. I've got a two-year-old grandson that I have not seen in the flesh yet, which is pretty sad. So finally I'm getting a chance to meet him.
Which will be nice.
It'll be fantastic. Can't wait.
Do you have any favourite Christmas movie or song or anything to get you into the spirit of things?
Yeah, look, I'm definitely a Love Actually man, believe
it or not. Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
I've been watching that ever since day one, and quite often it'll come out on Christmas Eve late at night before the family disappear for, asleep before Christmas. Maybe I'm a bit of a softie when it comes to that sort of thing. I do quite enjoy it.
Absolutely. Mum and I like to quote the first scene with Bill Nighy in it doing the song.
Yes, it's great. It is incredible. Every time you laugh, every time you hear it, it's a classic.
Is that your favourite Christmas song?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What about Last Christmas by Wham? Have you heard of Whamageddon?
No, I haven't heard of Whamageddon. I did hear a little bit in the on the news while I was driving to Wellington yesterday, but yeah, it sounds like he's upset a few people.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story. I mean, the idea is that you go all Christmas, all December up to Christmas without listening to the song. And then there was a DJ in a stadium in England, and he played it at half time, and there were 7,000 people who heard it, and didn't go down well, shall we say.
No.
I'm officially out of it because I heard it walking in here this morning. I was thinking, well, I don't go out too much. I probably won't hear it. And then in the 2 minutes of getting from the car to the studio, I heard it in the mall. So that's unfortunate.
This is unfortunate. Look, I as a retailer, obviously, I've got a different perspective of Christmas. I hope that, you know, Christmas is really important to retailers, obviously, and this year will be even more so. Because of the challenges of what's happening in our economy. I fear that local retailers and businesses don't have a good Christmas, then they'll have to make some tough decisions early next year. So, yeah, look, I as much as I enjoy Christmas, though, I don't go over the top and, like, I don't over-decorate the shop or anything like that.
No.
It's hopefully a really nice time of the year. I think the best time of the year to reconnect with family and friends that you may not have actually spent much time with during the year, just even if it's just to say g'day and share maybe a cold one in the good summer nights that we enjoy.
Absolutely, and for most people that's all it's about, really, just the family and the getting together, none of the pompous and the pageantry and the tinsel and the presents. It's just about the coming together.
Exactly. And look, we're a bit different down here, of course. It's generally hot and sunny, hopefully, and it's not quite, I think if you were in the Northern Hemisphere, experience a winter Christmas, it might be a bit different. But, you know, down here, it's the barbecue and jandals and shorts and a cold drink.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going into summer, of course, we look forward to having you back next year, Bernie, but one thing to think about between now and when we next talk, we've got the API&I show, and it's a royal one. So that's a very exciting thing coming.
It's a big deal for the town, actually.
Has that happened before here?
I don't think so. Well, if it has, it certainly, I can't recall it. And not that I'm that au fait with everything in the API&I area, but, it's very special. And, look, I think a credit to the organisers here, who have maintained a very high standard of a show for many, many years now. We launched the Royal Show in Council a few weeks ago, they're very excited, and so they should be.
Is there anything to that Royal title? Will we get to see any of that pageantry and the coming through?
Possibly not. Maybe a couple of visitors that we're not used to seeing, but I'm sure the API&I committee will do justice to the event and the fact that it is a royal show. The fact that we are only 100 km from Wellington should mean we get a lot of those city folk up here to enjoy what the country is all about and seeing some of the marvellous things that we do have to offer.
It's Wellington anniversary weekend, especially.
It is, yes.
Well, we see the Governor-General, perhaps. No Charles, unfortunately, but
I don't know who we'll see, but I'm sure it'll be a great event and a great weekend.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure having you this year, Mayor Bernie. Thank you for coming in all of these early mornings out of meetings and things. Last word for the year with you.
Oh, look, I just want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. Hope it's peaceful, relaxing. I hope, as I said before, that you can connect with family and friends. Also, if you are on the roads driving, please be tolerant and patient and careful. We don't want any tragic events happening over that period. But look forward to catching you up with you all in 2024.
And from all of us here at Coast Access Radio, thank you very much for tuning in to Political Point of View this year. We'll see you in the new year, but until then, have a safe summer, Merry Christmas, and stay safe out there.
Christmas is all around me, and so the feeling grows. It's written in the wind, it's everywhere I go. So if you really love Christmas,
the program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.